I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. Scarier the better.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. In self-care.
Self-care.
For yourself. Ooh, I like the jive in there.
Thank you so much. I'm an artist.
I am an artist. That is the fact.
This week I you know what?
Sorry, it wasn't on the spot.
It wasn't really self-care, but it like made my heart really happy.
That's self-care.
So Ronan's been like falling asleep on my chest like every day for the past like 3 days.
He was doing it. It's so cute.
It's the cutest thing. Like I'll try to like burp him and then he'll be like
it's like fighting for my life,
and then
mom.
And then he like falls asleep and I'm like, okay, you can just lay on my chest. I love you so much. And then I was like listening to Spooked. Like when you walked in, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I can't go anywhere because this is like the cutest fucking thing I've ever felt in my life. I'm going to listen to a podcast.
Well, I felt bad because I walked in and like the dogs were barking. I'm like, sorry, come in talking loud.
No, he like doesn't.
But it's good though because
he
like,
doesn't
you
care
want
about
to,
loud
like,
noises.
Yeah.
Like at all. So it was fine. So yeah.
I was just really worried he was going to wake up. And I'm like, sorry, come in yelling.
Because our dogs are
like,
so stupid and loud. But he.
But it's good because it makes him a deeper sleeper.
Too. Exactly. So he just like makes me so happy because it's like I can like rub his little back and he just like snores a little bit and it's like our hearts are like right next to each other.
Stop it.
It's so cute. Like
he's
I didn't think I would be like
baby.
This, but it's so cute.
He's so good at sleeping and stuff like that. Every time I see him.
I love him so much.
He's so sweet. He's
so,
so cute.
I guess that's kind of like my, it filled me up. I'm
that
like,
is self-care.
Yeah.
Connecting with your baby, not self-care. Think again, it is.
What did you do?
A few nights ago, we went to like Ted's Montana Grill. Just like, Keith and I were like, boring,
a,
let's
a
do
buffalo
something.
Burger?
So,
or bison.
Yeah. So we went to like this brew hut place because Keith's been brewing some sour beers, which I think is really nice. He's
where,
like, I want to do sour beers for you.
The brew hut place?
It's near Dry Dock. They have like a
brew
next to it.
Yeah.
So we went there. We went and got a drink. And then, and this is right before the surprise party, which I talked about last week. And so Keith was like, I was like, we should just go to dinner. I'm starving. I was like, I don't want to go home and cook. And Keith's like, I really don't either.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, right? There's always that time where you're like, fuck.
We're like, anyway, should we just, like, get something? Let's get
should
a
we just keep
burger.
It simple?
Yeah.
Let's make it simple. So, anyways, we were, like, drinking a beer. And Keith's like, we go to Lariat Lodge or Ted's Montana Grill. And I ignored that. I was like, Ted's Montana Grill sounds great.
Because
like, you're literally going the next day.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? But like, would you have been annoyed? He's like, yeah, actually a little bit.
2 days in a row.
Yeah. So we did that. And it was just nice. And then we were like, maybe we should go see a movie. We were like looking at that imaginary movie.
Imaginary? What's that?
It's like from the same creator. So that made Megan.
Oh.
It's about this like imaginary friend where the girl Vids is back home and the imaginary friend's pissed off.
Ew, no. That sounds scary. I love it.
I was like, ew, no, what? So we were going to go see that. I don't remember what we did instead, but we were like, eh, maybe we'll go home. We watched this like Norwegian movie. This is going to sound so boring and I normally hate movies like this. It's so good. It's called The Twelfth Man. And it was about this guy who escapes. Well, My Favorite Murder talked about it. We actually watched the movie. And it was this guy that escaped from the Nazis during World War II. They kill off everyone. Yes. Oh my god, the movie is so good.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's on, on Tubi. Go watch it. It's okay. The 12th Man. It's so and normally I don't really like, I know that sounds bad, I don't really like war
movies,
but this one
really
immediately
good.
Takes you in, and it is subtitles. Normally I don't like that. I'm telling you, like, normally I don't like this stuff.
Okay.
But it was so good, and it, like, draws you in immediately.
Ooh.
And you're just, like, on the edge of your seat, like, what's gonna happen next?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I'll watch it.
It's so good. It's so good. Nice. So, yeah, we, like, did that, and then it was just kind of, like, an easy night, so.
Nice.
Self-care achieved.
Good job.
Yeah.
So what did you get at Ted's?
Well, a bison burger, obviously.
Did you get their pickles?
Their pickles, I could eat those. Like,
so good.
I could eat those every day.
They're delicious.
Because they're not over the top. There are some pickles that are like too pickly, you know? There are some that are like too much. I love pickles, but
those I just ones don't are like just... the like bread and butter. Like, that's just fucking gross.
I don't like when they're sweet. I'm sorry.
Ew, disgusting. Why are these sweet?
I got deep fried pickles sour that were and sweet. Salty. Thank you. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I got. Because I love fried pickles. Oh, I got ones that were sweet. And I was mad.
Disgusting.
I was mad as shit the whole time. I'm like, this is stupid. But I paid
this
too much
so
for this.
Dumb. Take it back. Won't eat it. Ew. Gross.
Yeah, but I felt like I had to finish it. So I did.
Right.
I was mad. I'm not going to say where it was, but it was not my favorite spot. Be better. Don't make sweet fried pickles. Like, what game are you playing?
Don't make sweet pickles, period.
Yeah.
Gross.
My mom likes that.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Mom, I've been talking about you in all my podcasts. Are you going to contact me about it? Probably not.
Probably not. She stopped listening after the second episode.
Because yeah. She said I said fuck too much. And I was
oh,
like,
no.
I'm sorry. Sorry, we're talking about stuff that's fucked up. Sorry, I'm drinking rosé. Go on. What are you telling me about this week?
Okay, so this week I am going to tell you about Colorado serial killer and two women who he affected.
You know what's really sad is Colorado has a lot of serial killers.
More than you would think.
Yeah, I think the high altitude.
Well, I think... just in general, there's more serial killers than there needs to be, or...
In general, yeah, you're right.
Not that there needs to be, because there don't need to be serial killers,
I know
like,
what you mean.
It's bad.
The need is zero.
The need is
the
zero.
The have is 100% not great.
Yeah. I watched this TikTok that was like, this guy was like, instead of like, what did he say? Instead of like no fire zones or something, we should have like... oh, no gun zones. We should have no rape zones. And then this girl stitched it and she's like, there are, like, every area in the world is a no rape zone.
Area.
Like, there's never an area that's
I
okay
have
to rape.
I question. Is yeah. there an area that I need to avoid?
Right. Like, what? You stupid
I mean,
moron.
I think the guy was trying to, like...
He was trying.
He was trying, but I think...
He didn't quite get there.
He didn't think.
He did not think before he said that.
But I think he was trying to come from a place of, like...
He was trying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even going to give him an A for effort. I'm going to give him, like, a D for effort, because that
yeah,
was stupid.
Think before you say that.
But yeah, she was
every
like...
Every area is a no-rape
area. She, like, sang it. She was like, every area is a no-rape area. And I was like, okay, yeah.
That's amazing.
I was like, that's funny, but also, like...
But, like,
pretty
true.
Messed up.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm going to tell you about this dude. He sucks. And I'm going to tell you about the women who do not suck. So.
Who probably had a bright future.
Mm-hmm. So we're going back. March 31st, 2011.
I'm there.
We were 21. We were like, you know what I love? A platform high heel and business casual clubbing outfits.
I liked... imagining that I would find a boyfriend.
Okay, so you were single and ready to mingle.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were very similar
to this
girl. I'm
just saying, like, the importance of boys in my life when I was 21 was
right.
Stupid.
Try to find a man, get that dick
yeah,
appointment.
It's like, girl,
as you do.
You don't need a man. You need to study.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
I needed to study.
So it's time for girls' night out.
Yes.
We're in Lodo. short for Lower Downtown, which is like the clubbing scene of Denver, because like we don't have a lot.
What was your... Okay, Lodo used to be cool. It did.
Yeah.
I mean...
I was not a clubber, if I'm going to be honest.
But I'm saying like the bars, not necessarily the clubs. What was your bar?
I did not go down there enough to like know.
Okay.
Like I did not have a favorite.
Mine was Cowboy Lounge. And it was Thursday night was ladies'
night. Cowboy Lounge was fun.
I would go with Sarah, who definitely doesn't listen to this podcast. We'd go, it was ladies' night, $5 for guys, but we would drink our faces off. Because, you know, the next day I would usually work, but like I was 21.
But you were 21 so. And you get up and you're like, ah, I love life.
I have 3 hours of sleep and I feel
I have energy.
Yeah, so that was my experience.
So that's the vibe, is that.
I'm partying, just like, clubbing. Where, yeah.
Because this girl was 19. So she was
fake ID.
2 years younger than us. Yes. Okay. She had a fake ID. Why did I say idea? Her name was Kenya Monier. You remember hearing about this, yeah?
Yes, I do remember hearing about this.
Because I remember hearing about this, too. Mm-hmm. So my brother sent me this article about it, and I was like, oh, my God. I literally...
Eric, who now locks his doors.
Yes.
So proud of him.
Right? I literally remember, like, hearing about this and being like, oh, shit, we should be, like,
because her name
careful.
Is beautiful.
Well, and also, like, we were the same age-ish.
Yeah.
So it was like, we're all doing the same thing.
She's the same age, yeah.
We're all doing the same thing. So she's going out with two new girlfriends. Like, these are kind of new friends. To hit the town, they're going to dance, they're going to drink, they're going to look cute, they're going to find some boys.
Three in total, girls?
Yes.
Okay.
They're ready to party. But it was also Kenya's plan to meet up with her bestie, Janet Gomez.
Okay.
So just a quick little tidbit about Kenya, because I like to talk about
what Let's they're hear about her.
So she was smart, she's outgoing, friendly, she's funny, and she's the oldest daughter. So, of course, she was loving, caring, and responsible.
Sure. Yeah.
She graduated from, like, a really good high school in Denver, and she was going to pursue... broadcasting or something in like television. Like she wanted to be
so
a director.
She was social.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah. And she was just like a spitfire. Like she was the life of the party. Aww. Her mom, Maria, came from Honduras to start a new life in Colorado. And when she got here, she met this man named Tony Lee. They got married. They had two more kids. And then they brought Kenya to Colorado. So it was like they kind of merged families. And it was like a really good merging of families.
So
because
I'm confused. So they were... So she was born and raised in Colorado.
No, she was born and raised in Honduras.
Okay, sorry.
And then
I was
came
just
to
like,
Colorado.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. So her mom met Tony in Honduras. And then they came to Colorado.
Her mom came to Colorado, then met Tony... Then they got married, had kids, and then they brought, like, she was, like, working, basically, to bring her to Colorado.
Oh, okay.
So, Kenya comes to Colorado. She doesn't speak any English.
I was about to ask. What age is she, or do we not know?
I'm not sure. She was, like, early teens.
Okay.
But she learned English.
What a hard time to come.
Seriously. But she was very grateful for... her mom's hard work to bring her there, and Tony.
Oh, I bet.
Like, she considered Tony a dad. Like, when she got to Colorado, she was like, thank you, Dad. Like, and he was like, I'll remember that for the rest of my life. Like, so they're merging the families, like, really, like, was a really wonderful, beautiful thing, and they just were,
I
like,
happy.
I love
that, because sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's hard. So, yeah, she's, like, an amazing girl. She is in her... late teens at this point, so she's trying to just like have some fun, you know?
Yeah. Welcome to what we all did.
Right. So basically, like I said, she was supposed to meet up with her bestie Janet at a bar/club called Lavish. Do you remember that?
Lavish Lounge?
Yeah.
I never went there.
I never went there.
But
either.
I heard about it. Like,
or
I was
maybe
on the
I did,
radio.
But I was too drunk to remember. I don't know.
Well, we would hear about it on the radio, like, Lavish Lounge this Saturday.
Yeah.
Ooh, sexy night where you must be sexy.
Right. Dress up, whatever.
Dress up and be like, I don't know.
Be a hoe bag.
Do your hoe thing. We support you.
Right.
It was Lavish Lounge.
It was a great place, yeah. I guess. So there was dancing, whatever. But she never showed up. So she never met up with Janet. And then Janet just assumed, like, okay, maybe she and her the other girls were just, like, having fun somewhere else because Kenya wasn't answering her phone calls.
It happens. It's not great.
Yeah, but sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
So what had happened was Kenya and the two other girls, they tried to get into Lavish, but the bouncers didn't buy their fake IDs. They were like, okay, these are fake. Goodbye. You can't get in.
I got my real ID turned away a few times.
Really?
They're like, this doesn't scan. And I'm like, and look at my face.
It's a real ID.
Yeah. And I would be like, do it again. And like, I never had it taken away, but there were some times where like, this isn't scanning. I'm like, well, try it again, motherfucker.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, anyway, so the bouncers didn't take it. So they couldn't get into the club where they were supposed to meet Janet. So then they went to a hookah bar. Do you remember those?
Oh, God. Do those exist anymore?
I hope not.
I, like, if you were like, hey, come to a hookah bar or pay $100, I think I might pay the $100.
No, I would 100% pay the $100.
I don't want to go to a hookah bar.
It gives me a headache. And yeah. Also, like, gross.
Also, lung cancer.
So they went to the hookah bar. They took a few pictures. Like, there's picture documentation.
Welcome to 2011. This is the most 2011 story.
When you like bring your digital camera and like,
yeah,
take pictures and like, then post it as an album in Facebook.
Before you would just put it on your iPhone, you know, before sure. Like camera phones were like
right
popping off like they are now.
So they go there and then they end up going to another club called the 24K Club or 24,000. I don't know. I didn't club.
Whatever. That one I don't know. I didn't club. I would go to bars, but I never was
me
like...
too. I was not a clubber.
Yeah. Like, I would go to bars.
I did it a couple times, and I was like, I hate this.
But, like, Lodo now versus 2011, I don't mean to be that person. Like, it was better back then, but it was.
I don't remember the last time I went to Lodo, if I'm being honest.
Mine was 2 years ago for a bachelorette party.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That tracks.
It was... I couldn't wait to leave.
So the night's, you know, good. They're dancing, they're drinking, they're having fun. Kenya starts talking with this dude. She's flirting, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then she kind of like leaves her friends. So she like left her purse and her phone with her friends. And she's like talking with this dude. They're flirting, blah, blah, blah. Then they lose sight of her. And keep in mind, these are her two like new friends. So... they don't have that rule of, like, we come together, we leave together. Which, Janet,
let me cut in really quickly. Guys.
That's
trafficking is huge now. When your friend wants to go home with a guy, no, guess what? She can meet up with him at another time. When you come together, and if he's a good guy, he would be like, yeah, you know what? I'll take you on a real date or something.
Sure.
When you come together, you leave together.
100%.
Sketchy shit happens.
And people are creeps.
And if you see your friend like walk off with a guy and she's drunk out of her mind, that guy does not have good intentions.
Well, and you could also like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of safety precautions you can take where it's just like,
yeah, just come together, okay, and leave together. They don't need to go home with
anyone. Tell us where
you're
going. Also, if you do leave with a guy, like one night stands happen, have your fun, but I need you to text me when you get there. I need you to send me your location.
100%. Send your location throughout the entire time.
Totally. Like, if you're gonna have a one night stand, have your fun, but like, be a little bit like
my friend would go on
cautious
dates
about it.
And this is gonna sound crazy, but I would have her send a code word each time.
Yeah.
So she'd be like,
this is
I'm having a good time, magenta. And then
that's how
she
women
could send
work.
A code word like, hey, it's great, taupe. And taupe meant it was bad.
Yeah. Call
and
me
I
so I can
weird.
Leave. No,
magenta,
it's not weird
was
at all.
Like, but the code word was like magenta. And then she's like, yeah, things are, like, I never got a taupe text, which was good.
That's good.
But she would be like, yeah, things are going great, magenta. Because if the guy stole the phone, he wouldn't know that you
right.
just have to say magenta.
Totally. So anyways, that was just a PSA.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to cut it.
And
like,
not
wait.
That Kenya didn't have those rules set in place, because she did with her, like, bestie and her friends that she usually
but
went
like
out with.
But like you said, new
but
friends.
But these are new friends. So anyways, the new friends are like, whatever, we're not worried about it. She'll be right back, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Did they make sure to watch her purse?
Yes.
Okay.
But she didn't come back. And then closing time happens and they're like, where is she? they start texting her, or no, they don't start texting her. Her other friend, Janet, was like texting her, like, where are you? Blah, blah, blah. So they take her purse, they take her belongings, and they're like, I guess she like made it home, I guess. Like
we'll have her stuff for her, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want to get her in trouble because she's underage and she's sneaking into clubs and drinking. So they're just like, maybe she left with this dude. We'll hear from her.
We'll get her stuff back to her at some point. We'll hear back from her.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Also, Kenya had recently broken up with her boyfriend, Luis, at the time. So he worked downtown.
Okay.
And this is when he notices, like, he knew, like, they were still kind of, like, in contact.
Sure.
So he knew that she was going out that night. And he knew where she had parked. Like, they had kind of, like, talked briefly, whatever.
Yeah.
They were still kind of, like, on good terms. And he notices that Kenya's car is still parked where it had been the previous evening. So, the following day, he's kind of like, what the hell?
Sorry, you might have said this. So, they met that night and he knew where she parked?
Yeah.
Okay. That's where I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this raises red flags for him.
Sure.
He calls Kenya's sister, Kimberly, and asks, like, is she...
Sorry, the full name, it just gets me.
Is she home? Have you heard from her? Like, her car's still here? Like, what's going on? You know, like, I haven't heard from her.
I just want to make sure she's safe.
I've been texting her. I've gotten no replies. Like, we were texting throughout the night, and then it just stopped. And so Kimberly's like, no, she's not home.
I haven't heard from her either.
Yeah, and he's like... You need to tell your parents, like, she's missing. And so Kimberly tells her parents, and they're immediately concerned. So eventually the family gets in touch with the new girlfriends that Kenya had gone out with. And they're like, oh my God, we're so sorry. Like, we kind of just figured she would, like, show back up. Here's her purse and her cell phone.
But they really didn't have... No. Like, there's really nothing they could have done other than that. Like, if they left her belongings, I would be like, wow, that's shitty of them. But they grabbed her belongings. Yeah. Like, what else could they have done? What else are they supposed to do?
And, you know, like, you take laps around the club trying to find someone or whatever. Like,
We've all been there. Yeah, yeah.
But, so, anyways... They're kind of, like, shocked, like, we just thought she would show up. Like, we don't know. And so then Janet, Kenya's bestie, is, like, it was so sad, like, in the interview. Like, this was on Dateline.
Yeah.
She's being interviewed, and she's just, like, if we had been together, like, she would have been safe. Because they had that rule, you know? Like, none of this would have happened, and she just, like, felt so bad, and, like...
But that's not a guilt she should ever carry, because... Yeah. Who knows? She could have been there and the same thing could have happened. Like,
yeah, you never know.
You don't know.
So basically, after the cell phone is given back to the family, Tony starts to go through it and just to like see if there's like any clues.
Yeah, as anyone would. Yeah.
Maybe someone had plans and they were texting back and forth or like, who knows? Just to see if he could figure anything out.
Smart.
So then he finds a strange text message that says, hi, this is Travis, the guy with the creepy white van. Just wanted to make sure you got home okay.
Wow, immediately no.
Immediately no. So this Travis person, after like Tony had tried calling him and calling him, whatever, he finally calls Tony back on Kenya's phone and he tells him this story about what happened. Because Tony's kind of like leaving messages like,
and I'm sure Travis is like, my daughter's fucking missing.
Like,
what?
Hello, call me back. Like, yeah. If you know anything, I need to talk to you. So Travis tells Tony that he was driving around Lodo when he saw Kenya talking to a homeless man. And he thought she was in trouble because she looked super uncomfortable. And she was also like clearly inebriated. So he stops the car and he asks if she needs a ride. He's the knight in shining armor, saves her from the homeless man.
Always is, right?
She says yes, gets into his car, and she's like, I can't remember where I parked. So he's like driving her around Lodo, like trying to find which street it was. Apparently,
but she shouldn't be driving.
Right. Well, yeah. And she's like super drunk. So then... She has this idea. She's like, let's stop for cigarettes.
I guess I know this feeling in 2011.
Forgetting that, like, she doesn't have her purse. So, like, how's she going to buy them? But whatever. So he takes her to a gas station
on Spear Boulevard, but it's closed, which is like, also you can like tell when a gas station is closed. All the lights are off.
Like Spear. I'm trying to think, there's not, I mean, most of the places would be open, but yeah, it's pretty obvious when a gas station is open, when it's closed.
Yeah.
Typically at that point you can just get gas, but not like.
Yeah. So he takes her there. It's closed. Then she sees some random guy up the street smoking a cigarette, and she's like, oh, I'm just gonna go, like, bum one off of him. So she runs off to, like, meet this dude and ask him for a cigarette, and Travis is just like, are you okay? Like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah.
I'm sorry, really quickly. If that person was like, I'm gonna go bum a cigarette, I'd be like,
maybe don't.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're jumped in my van. Like, I mean,
I'm trying to help you find your car. Yeah,
like, that. This isn't your concern right now.
So, according to him, she's, like, arm in arm, like, links arm with this random dude. They're smoking cigarettes. And she tells Travis, like, I don't need your help anymore. This guy's going to take me home. And they were speaking Spanish. So, he's, like, I mean, okay, are you sure? And she's, like, yes. And he's, like, okay, bye. So, then he leaves. And that was the last he saw of her.
I bet it was.
Yeah. So Tony is like, none of what this man is saying makes any fucking sense. And he just had that like gut feeling where he's like, something is off. Like this, why do you have so many details? Why is it so weird? Like, what are you even talking
about?
When
somebody tells a story and there's like just too many unnecessary details,
you're a lying liar.
Are you automatically a little bit suspicious?
Yeah, of course.
So really quick funny story. So I come into, so one weekend, like I came back into work and my desk like had been rifled through, like it definitely was messed with.
What?
And like one of my fruit snacks was opened.
They didn't even finish your fruit snack and throw it away?
I don't even know if they ate it. It seemed pretty full.
What?
Because I keep snacks on my desk.
Well, duh. Who doesn't?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Duh. Office jobs.
Yeah, you have to. So, anyways, we never really figured that out, but it felt like somebody, like, and I'm not one of those people that, like, don't go through my stuff. Like, I don't care.
But also, that's weird.
I have a lot of stuff people actually need to access, so it's common, but, like, well, sure. Stuff just looked like it was gone through.
Why are you touching my snacks, though?
Yeah, that was weird. So, I remember I, like, told, like, Jesus and Nick, I was like, guys, I like told him, I was like, it's kind of weird. Like I went in and like my desk felt like it was rifled through. And I thought I only told Jesus and Nick. I don't know why I'm telling this story. It's just kind of funny. It's like one of those like too many details. And like then we were like, okay, that was weird, whatever. And then like I come in the next day and my desk is even more fucked with. Or no, this happened on a Friday. This happened on a Friday or a Thursday or Friday.
So you come in on a Monday.
So I come in on a Monday and it's super fucked up. And I'm like, oh, what the shit? Like, stuff is moved around and stuff like that. And I immediately am like,
why would anyone?
Hey, Zeus, this was your shit. And he's giggling. And he's like, no, I didn't do this. And he's providing too many details. He keeps coming up and he's like, here's why it wasn't me. And automatically, I was like, no, this was your bitch ass. I'm pissed at you.
You're inserting yourself.
Like, I didn't care that much. I was just more like,
yeah, no, totally.
I was just more like, I'm mad as fuck. Why would you fuck with my stuff? I didn't really care. And he kept laughing. And I was like, it's the fact that you're laughing. And he's like, no, really, I didn't do it. And he would just come back throughout the day like, I didn't do it, I swear. Here's why. And I was just like, no, you did it. Like, why do you care this much?
Now you did it. Like,
so anyways, so I'm like already like, I don't care that much. Like it wasn't that fucked with. It was just like the first time was a little unnerving because I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
So TK comes in. He's like, did you see what I did to your desk? I was like, that was you? And he's like, yeah, sorry. I just messed with it a little bit. And I was like, will you go get Jesus? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I'd apologize to him. But in my defense, I was like, you gave too many details. You acted too worried about showing your innocence. Yeah. That's why I'm telling you the story. Because I was right. Like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. So to this day, he's always just like, I didn't fuck with your desk. I was like, I know you didn't. I'm sorry. I was like, but in my defense, you were laughing and you were giving too much detail. True. So true, sorry. Sure. I had to tell that story. I'm like, this is why you don't give too much detail.
Okay. So.
Sorry, stupid story. Keep going.
Resuming.
So.
Tony, like, knows this is weird. This story doesn't make sense. Like, what are you
talking about? Too many details, all that. So he calls Denver PD and he reports his daughter missing. He also relays Travis's story to them. And of course, they're just like, oh, whatever. She's an adult. You have to wait 72 hours.
And she had been missing at 24 hours at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, yeah, this is like, she had got, yeah, it's like 24 hours at this point. Okay. So Tony decides he wants to meet up with this Travis character at the gas station where he supposedly saw Kenya last. And Tony is like, he's in protective dad mode. And he's like,
yeah,
you know what? I'm going to bring my gun. So
I support that.
I kind of do too.
Yeah.
Like, if you have your license to carry your concealed weapon, yeah, go for it.
And if your senses are kind of telling you something's off, yeah, follow that.
But also, like, don't kill a man.
Yeah, but, you know, like, it, to protect yourself.
So Kenya's mom, Maria, is, like, begging Tony not to go. She's like, shit could just go weird. You don't know this man. Like, who knows what he's gonna do?
I get her side, too.
And Tony's like, too bad, I'm going. Mm-hmm. So he goes, and Maria's like, okay, well, if you're going, I'm gonna call the cops so that they're there. And if anything goes weird, you've got protection, and also, like, you're not going to fly off the handle and use your gun for whatever reason.
Yeah. Smart. Smart.
So the police meet up with the two men at the gas station on Spear, and Travis tells them his story, and it's consistent with what he had told Tony.
No weird details changed?
Nope. And that's what Tony said. He was like, it was weird because it was, like, it was the exact same.
Word for word.
So, although police find it strange, I mean, they can't really, like, hold him for anything. Like, they kind of agree with Tony, too. They're like, yeah, that's a weird story, but, like,
what are we supposed to do?
We've got nothing. So, yeah, they're like, okay, you guys seem fine. And so they left. So after...
You guys seem fine. Bye.
Yeah. So after they left, Travis starts, like, crying to Tony, saying that he should have kept Kenya safe and how he felt so bad.
Red flag.
He's, like, doing the waterworks. And Tony and Travis shake hands. And at that moment, Tony told Keith Morrison on Dateline, he's like,
I fucking love
Keith. He knew that Kenya was dead. And without a doubt in his mind, he knew that Travis was the last person to see her alive. So... in spidey senses.
Okay. And I ask this just, and I, so he knew that Travis was the last person that saw her, mm-hmm, and he had sinister intentions,
mm-hmm,
or he shook his hand and he was like, he was the last person who saw her.
No,
alive, I guess.
No, he knew.
He knew, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He knew this guy was a bad guy.
Sorry, I was like, I need to clarify if it's, yeah, like he knew.
He was like this, mm-hmm, I don't know what he did, I don't know what happened, but like something bad happened, and
yeah,
she is no longer with us. So
what a creepy feeling that must have been.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So Denver Detective Nash Gurley is on the case now. And
what a cool name.
Yeah. They're like, okay, it's been 72 hours. And also this dude says he's picked her up. Like, so they assign, they're like, okay, that
maybe
is
we
weird.
Should look into it a little,
yeah,
bit more. That's
so
72 hours.
He's on the case. He's ready to figure out where Kenya is. He's ready to, like, solve this shit.
Yeah. Good for him.
So I just want to take a step away from Travis for a second just to let you know that they cleared Luis, Kenya's ex. He had a solid alibi. He was working all night. He had people that corroborated that.
The fact that he was, like, concerned enough to go check her car, that to me just shows, like, he was, like, checking up on her.
Totally.
It's not sinister intentions.
Absolutely.
To me. Yeah, yeah.
They also cleared the dude from the club. They had tracked him down.
Okay.
The one that she was flirting with.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. So he said that they went back to his place. And she, like, left pretty quickly after that because she was like, oh, shit, I forgot my purse and my cell phone. I need to go back. So she left, and then camera footage from the apartment complex
shows her leaving.
Yeah, showed that they showed up together, and then she left alone.
Okay.
So he's out. So they're really focusing on Travis because he was the last person to have seen her, and this, like, supposed second man who Travis said, like, took her home.
But Travis said his story was that he saw her on the side of the road, noticed she was drunk, and was like, I should pick her up.
Yeah, and then they went and tried to get cigarettes, and
yeah,
she,
and then
found,
she
that
found that
second guy.
But I just wanted to, so yeah, his story was saw her on the side of the road. It wasn't, mm-hmm, like saw her at the club. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So police had kind of like sent out all these like different alerts being like, does anyone know, like, did you take this girl home? Like, this is like big news. There's like missing posters all over social media. It was all over social media.
They had pictures of her and they're like, if you saw this girl this night, mm-hmm. please contact us. We need more information.
Right. So they were never able to locate this supposed like second man who gave her a ride. Yeah. Like, because he didn't fucking exist. Let's be real. And so
it was just a guy smoking randomly. They don't even know if he had a ride. So what information could they really gather from that?
He just made that shit up.
Yeah, of course.
So Travis comes to the police station to like have some like formal questioning. Of course, he's calm, cool, collected. You know, he's like, oh, I don't know what. He has this story to tell.
I have to say the crying was scary to me. That immediately when you told me that, I was like, heck, what's up?
Yeah. He like has all the details. He's very like concise. He like tells the same story, like he's telling the same story over and over. So like they're kind of like, okay, well, maybe, but
he's something consistent. He's
something
consistent.
Just felt off. Yeah. He also tells them that he went to his girlfriend's house after giving Kenya a ride.
Oh, and so suddenly he has a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And she provided an alibi. She's like, yeah, he was there. So the DA is like, something feels, it's just, we're not buying it.
Can I just say that I am really happy that investigators, instead of saying, I have a weird feeling, let's let him go.
Yeah. You know, they were persistent.
I really like.
And that is to the credit of Detective Gourlay. Like, he really, like.
Well, I like that they said, because a lot of the time, like, I have a weird feeling, but I'm going to go with what they said.
Yeah.
But I really like that in this story, it's like, they have a weird feeling, and they're like, so we're not going to trust
it. We're
going to
pursue it.
And that's what, that's what this is all about. Totally. Like, that's what I'm like, this is amazing that they're like, I have a weird feeling. I'm not going to trust what he's saying. Because that's not the case.
Yeah. So the detective, he's like, you know, this isn't real. Mm-hmm. And then the DA issues a warrant to check Travis's van, just to see if they could find any kind of evidence that she was there, like anything that maybe would be considered foul play, like. They're looking.
100%.
So they open the doors to this van and this insanely strong smell of bleach pours out. And they're like,
red flag.
Yeah. They're like, you want to explain that? But Travis has an explanation for everything. One of the detectives was like, he could say that he climbed Mount Everest and have every detail. Like, he just was that kind of person.
He has a great memory. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, yeah, like, I make my own fresh granola bars.
I was waiting for the granola bar.
I sell them to different businesses in Denver, so I have to have a clean vehicle to transport them. So they're like, okay, like, I guess that tracks.
But that,
like,
would make sense.
Really?
That you would bleach
are
it.
You bleaching it so hard that, like,
we can smell it?
Clean, yes, but like, why is it like overly bleached, you know?
With food, you don't want to bleach it too much because that could seep into the food.
And the granola bars are packaged, so like, what?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Anyways, ultimately, the van was completely clean. No evidence of Kenya or foul play. They did, however, notice that there were weeds, dirt, and dust in the undercarriage of the van. So
where were you traveling?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're like, must have been on a dirt road recently.
Why?
So
for what purpose?
Exactly. Police pull his cell phone records. They see that his cell phone pinged against towers in Keensburg, which is 40 miles
K-E-E-N-E-S-B-U-R-G.
Mm-hmm. Where they have the animal sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you been to that?
It's cool. Yeah.
We took Biebs.
So fun.
And, like, with little gloves. Oh, my God. It was so cute. But it was so fun.
So fun. Anyways, they have, like, random tigers and lions and bears that are saved. And they...
Guys, go there. They are taking these animals from, like, movie sets. They're animals that would not be able to survive on their own.
Yeah.
And, like, this money just goes to saving them. It's a lot of volunteer work. Like,
it's really cool.
It's so cool because you're just seeing these animals, like, in their natural habitat. And it's, like, they can't go back to the wild.
No. So. It's, like, literally, like, they told us when we were there. They're, like, these bears were like rescued from a circus who got them addicted to cigarettes as like a treat so that they would like do what they told them to do. Like, who even thinks of that?
Do you want to hear something really cute? Okay, so my brother-in-law, like, I had always wanted to hold a tiger. We went there, like, years ago.
Did you go to American Furniture Warehouse?
No, I did eventually get to hold the tiger. Oh, okay. So that's a different story. But my brother-in-law, like, was like, she really wants to hold the tiger. Is there any way, like, you have baby tigers or something? Like, he just was calling. And they were like, no, but we have a gift shop and we do have stuffed tigers. Aww. And she can hold one of those. Like, they were so nice. Yeah. But I, like, I still to this day, I'm like, that was really nice. He even called to, like, check. Yeah. But they took me there and it was such a fun experience.
It's so cool because they have, like, really big, like, tall walkways. So you, like, walk
around. Yeah, you walk over and you get to see them.
Just get to see them.
Do you want
to
go there again? We should go there again.
Hell yeah. I still get, like, the magazine where they're like, here's what's new.
Yeah, I do too. But we should go again. I haven't gone since probably 2011.
Yeah, probably me too. But so, like, maybe. Literally, it's like, Keensburg is, like, that's the main attraction there.
There's not much going on. And there's
nothing else.
It's dead.
It's just, like, fields.
Because it's I-70 that goes through, yeah. Right?
There's nothing there.
No.
So they have all this land to do an animal sanctuary.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
The animals have a lot of room, which is great.
Yeah. So, his cell phone's pinging, and they're like, why are you in, like, fucking rural Colorado?
Are you selling bars to them?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? And so, it showed also on his cell phone records that he was there for a total of 3 hours. So, they're like,
why 3 hours? That's
a perfect amount of time to dig a hole and jump a body, you know? That's what they're thinking.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So they do a massive search for remains, like, multiple times. They're looking through ditches, ravines, they're going through fields. Like, they have so many people on this task force looking for...
I love this.
Skeletal remains, anything that they could possibly find, any evidence sign. Of anything. Mm-hmm. And they come up empty-handed.
Fuck.
So then they get a break from a bakery owner. And her name is Monica Poole. She was renting space to Travis for his granola bar making business.
Okay.
And Monica
Area was this in?
I'm not sure. It didn't say.
Okay. Okay. Denver. I didn't know if that was important. Okay.
Somewhere in Denver.
Okay.
So, and I'm not sure what the bakery was. It didn't tell me.
Just was but a maker space, probably.
It was kind of like, yeah, if you want to, like, rent some space and use our baking equipment, then go for it. Pay us money. So Monica had been checking her inside security footage because someone was stealing from the cash register. So she's like,
oh, great.
Yeah. So she's going back through footage and she ends up going to the police because in the footage that she sees, she finds Travis rolling his big cooler that he uses for his granola bars to transport in his van into the walk-in freezer. And first of all, she's like,
why does he need the walk-in freezer? He's selling granola bars.
And also, you have a cooler.
Why do you have
where a cooler? Where you, like, double cooling it? Like, what are you doing?
Double cooling it.
Yeah, it's a granola bar. It doesn't need to be frozen.
Well, my question is, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, money missing from the register. Was she, like a business as well? Like, at yeah. business mm-hmm. by day? So she was a bakery, but she would, like, rent space to people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I was just confused and was like, wait. So if he's making his granola bars, I didn't know if it was just a space where he was making it, but it was also a bakery. Okay.
It, yeah, makes sense. She owned a bakery and she's just renting it.
Sorry, so I was like, wait a minute. Make his okay, okay.
So she's like, why are you, like, double cooling this fucking cooler? And then also, it's taped shut. Why is your cooler taped shut?
It never needs to be taped shut.
Why would you ever need to do that?
You need to access it, don't you?
Yeah. So creepy. Then, the cherry on top, he comes back out of the freezer wearing elbow-high yellow cleaning gloves. And then he comes into the office where the cameras are all plugged in, unplugs the camera, and the tape just ends.
Fun fact, if that shit happens that's fucking weird.
Totally. So she's immediately
Why are you doing that?
She's obviously aware of this girl that's gone missing. And Travis had actually confided in her the day after she had gone missing and was like, I gave this girl a ride and now she's missing. So she's like, what?
But you know for a fact he was trying to like clear his alibi.
Oh, totally.
So she'd be like, yeah, he told me he took this girl home.
Oh my God. He's so nice.
God, yeah. What a
dumbass. Yeah. So she's like, hard, like, this is some weird shit, like, telling the police.
Yeah.
She tells the police. Also, there's reports that Travis had been seen burning some shit in a grease barrel in the alley behind the bakery.
All of what you've told me is suspicious.
This is so suspicious.
All of the, you know, the taping that is suspicious.
The gloves.
The gloves. Everything you've told me is suspicious. The burning shit in an alleyway. Why?
Why though?
If you're innocent, why do you need to be burning
shit?
What
are you burning?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the police's obvious next question. What the fuck are you burning in an alleyway in a barrel? And he's like,
you're not burning candles.
He's like, hey guys, I was burning moldy marijuana.
Huh? You don't burn marijuana, you dick.
Like, unless you're smoking it.
Well, yeah.
And why is it moldy? What are you talking about? Why do you need a barrel? How much do you have?
People out there who smoke marijuana, does it get moldy?
I've never seen a moldy marijuana.
Let us know. Let us know if it gets moldy. We want
to
know.
I used to smoke my share of marijuana in the day and like moldy. I didn't
smoke very much marijuana.
Moldy? It was already dried. You know? It makes no sense.
I'm just saying, like, everything you're saying, it just gets more and more and more. It makes literally no sense. Suspicious.
And like, how much marijuana do you have? You know, like,
what are you doing?
I would buy an eighth like every 2 weeks. What? How much do you have that you need a barrel? Like, what?
And also, like, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the circumstances, you're not going to burn it because guess what?
Yeah.
The smell's going to rise. We're not idiots. Everyone knows, unless you're like a child,
getting like everyone contact knows what eye?
Fucking like marijuana smells like. You're going to check that. This is 2011. Wasn't legal until 2012.
Right.
Hashtag
Colorado Amendment laws.
64. Why do I still know that? Anyways, go on.
Oh, I'm glad you do. But it's also like, what? So,
but you're not going to bring suspicion to yourself because it's going to smell marijuana and people police are immediately like, going to investigate that shit. Immediately.
Especially when you're like in downtown Denver. Yeah. Are you stupid?
Do you know how many people are around downtown Denver? All the people.
What a moron. So anyways, it makes...
Keep going. Sorry, I'm just like, I'm getting fired up.
Well, it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
So the police test the barrel for DNA, but unfortunately nothing comes up.
Of course not.
We're still like, you're being weird, dude.
I love that the police are still trying, though. I love that.
They're trying so hard. Something's happening. This is one of the cases where you're like, yes.
Every turn.
Do that.
Yes.
So, like I said, Travis has an explanation for everything.
Of fucking course he does. He's a storyteller.
And what's even more incriminating is at one point during, after speaking with Travis, Travis told Detective,
Nash. You can call him Nash. Yeah. You know.
Well, because they were on, like, first name basis, too.
Yeah.
I'll put that in there.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you guys were so close. Huh?
What? So close to what?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know they're so close. Why do you know that?
Yeah.
Why do you know that, Travis? Why do you know that?
And they can't, like, arrest someone off of a
somebody off of circumstantial evidence, like a weird fucking comment. You can't arrest off of that.
So,
God, I hate this
police
guy.
Have all this circumstantial evidence. They have all the feelings in the world that this guy is the guy, but they don't have anything directly linking him to Kenya's disappearance.
No, there is really nothing to go and off of.
They haven't found her. So even if she was alive or dead, they've got nothing.
That was the biggest thing in like many cases is like, they're like, we have the guy, we have all the stuff, but we don't have the body. So we don't have like the hard evidence. We have circumstantial evidence. We have stuff that's weird because everything about him has been weird.
So weird.
But they haven't found anything that's concrete that totally. You can take to trial that's exactly. anything other than just a weird coincidence.
Yes. So let me give you some more fucking weirdness. Yes,
please do.
So journalists, this is like a big news story. Journalists.
Yeah, I remember hearing about
this. Know that he's involved. They know that he is a person of interest. But not how? Yet a suspect.
But how? Yeah.
So they're like interviewing him. They're on the news, like all this stuff. He's playing the role of concerned Good Samaritan.
Shut the fuck up, Travis.
One interview that did catch the detective's attention was that this journalist was like, she was just like going for it. She was like, point blank, did you murder Kenya? And dude says no, but nods his head yes. He's like, no.
I would never, ever do that.
So
I don't like think
of it. I know, right? You're like, no.
Danae, it's hard to do. I did not do that.
So
that feels weird.
The detectives are like, body language. They know that he's lying. It's just another thing that they're piling on top of it where they're like, this guy...
I mean, that was a big part of the Chris Watts case, if you remember, was it wasn't what he was saying. It was the body language. It's
the actions. Mm-hmm. So then he's like, the fucking audacity of this man. He asked the journalist, he's like being all like, oh, I'm so like,
I'm so
like,
worried about her.
I wish I would have done this and I wish I would have done that. Dude. And he's like, what's her name again? Sorry.
It's all over the news. It's all over the news.
You are involved in this.
You don't know her name? Suspect number one. You probably don't know that, but you are
like, number one suspect. Shut the fuck up. You know her name. So, not long after that interview.
And how long are we from this happening? Like, are we like a few days or are
this
we
is like a matter of like days, like if not like a week, like okay. It's all very,
I just want to get a timeline of like where we quick. Are. Okay. Okay. So we're like, we'll say a week out. Probably. Yeah. Okay.
So not long after this interview, Travis just up and vanishes.
That's not suspicious.
Yeah. So the detectives can't find him anywhere. They're like posting on like police message boards and shit. Well, I'm sure they're going
to that bakery. Like,
they're like, hi, does anyone know where this dude is? Like, can't find him. And they couldn't really do anything because, like I said, he's a person of interest. He is not a
suspect yet.
Like, he's not an official suspect.
Yeah. Well, he's a suspect in their minds. Yeah. But they're like, but not like officially. Yeah.
So they catch a break when Austin PD arrested Travis for a stolen vehicle.
In Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, how... Let me look really quickly. I'm going to see how long Denver... How far?
As a drive. Because Travis apparently asked an old girlfriend if he could borrow her 4Runner, and then he just, like, never returned it. So she filed a stolen vehicle report, and then they, like, found his car because...
Update. It's 14 and a half hours.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
Also, I don't... let anyone but like me, like I would let my
he's
family.
Clearly on his way to Mexico,
but like why are you letting him drive your car, girl? Like, what is you doing?
Because it was an old girlfriend, who knows. So
that's nice of her. I wouldn't do that.
I would never do that.
No, I'd be like, Keith, my family, you can drive my car, not no a lot one of else. Other people. Like, yeah. If you were like, I'm gonna drive your car, I'd be like, yes you are.
So they got a search warrant for his DNA and they left for Texas because he's arrested there. He's now got a stolen vehicle. He was extradited back to Colorado and held in jail, but his girlfriend, his former girlfriend, dropped the stolen car charges.
God damn it, don't.
I know. So they couldn't keep him in jail.
Were they communicating?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Austin PD and...
Well, I'm wondering, like, were the girlfriend and Travis talking?
No, she just was like, oh, I just wanted to get my car back. Like, he would never do anything bad. Like, I forgive him. Like... that kind of bullshit.
No, you should go. It's fine.
It's whatever. Fine. Whatever.
Not gonna victim.
So this creep ass is now free to just like roam and potentially hurt other women.
And cops are like, shit.
Yes. They're like, oh my God, we need to get this guy off the street.
Yeah.
So yeah. Detective Nash, Gurley, How did I say it before?
You can call him Nash. It's fine.
It's such a weird spelling. It's G-U-R-U-L-E.
Can I see it?
But Keith Morrison pronounced it like Gurley. He didn't do the middle part.
Where is this?
Detective Gurley.
Gurley?
Gurley, I think is how he said it.
Yeah.
At least I'm trusting Keith Morrison.
Yeah, always trust Keith Morrison.
Always trust Keith Morrison. That's how I say.
Trust Keith.
That's what I always say. So Travis's bank card. Okay, sorry. Detective Gurley, he knew that, like, this dude is dangerous. He's potentially going to, like, hurt someone else if they don't, like, get on
it. Yeah, absolutely.
So he sets up surveillance on Travis. And Travis's bank card showed that he had returned to Keensville. They searched the fields and ditches and ponds.
Keensburg?
Once more. Sorry, Keensburg. Did I say Keensville? Sorry. Yeah, Keensburg.
Sorry, I'm just making sure.
No, you're totally right.
Okay.
So they searched it once again. They're, like, trying to find anything, and they still can't find nothing.
Yeah.
So
of course.
Then Travis goes to Fort Collins to stay with his grandparents. We also call this FOCO. We like a good abbreviation.
Yes. This is where your brother, my fiancé, went to school.
Yes. So this is a college town.
I like to tell
It's people. Kind of like, I wouldn't say it's like a huge college town, but like there's the old town section where there's a whole bunch of bars and people like to party.
You're going to see college kids everywhere you go is essentially what we're saying. So, I mean,
there's drinking. Yeah. There's partying.
And it's like it's a military base as well. A lot of military families live there as well.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like people are partying. So anyways, he goes there. He stays with his grandparents. He's trying to like keep a low profile. However,
why does he need to keep a low profile?
When he gets to Old Town, he's like getting so drunk, like ridiculously drunk. He's jumping on people's cars. He's getting kicked out of bars. He's like just doing stupid shit.
I've been drunk. I don't jump on cars.
Ew, no. Also, I'm not a boy, so.
Yeah.
It seems like stupid
boy
things.
Can't say I've ever been a boy.
Yeah. So Denver PD communicates with the FOCO police. And they're just like, hey, we're watching this dude, so, like, you guys should watch him, too.
Yeah.
Like, right now, he's just being, like, a drunken menace. But, like,
it's gonna escalate.
A bit more than that. Like, we are watching him because he potentially murdered a girl in Denver. So, FOCO police are like, okay, you got it.
We got you, baby girl.
Yeah. So, now we're in July. It is right after the 4th of July festival that they have every year.
Haven't been to it.
Me either. It's early morning, July 5th, 2011. Lydia Tillman is a pretty 30-year-old wine company rep who loved to travel. She's walking home after the fireworks festival.
I don't like the sound of this.
When she's attacked. The man forces her back into her apartment where he brutally rapes and beats her.
Aww.
I know. It's like really... It's... horrible.
Awful.
He then pours bleach all over her and sets her apartment on fire. So who do we know that loves bleach and fire?
I know one person, and his name is Travis.
His name is Travis.
Yeah.
Luckily,
she survives.
Lydia wakes up in her burning apartment, and she finds the strength to jump out of her second floor window.
Oh, thank God. But, like, awful.
Yes.
Awful that she had to, like, do that.
Totally. So she's rushed to the hospital, and she's, like, unrecognizable. She's been beaten so badly. Her sister was like, when I went to go see her in the hospital, the only reason that I knew that it was her was because she had a tattoo on her calf.
I have told my mom, I'm like, if I'm ever murdered, know my tattoos. My mom's like, I hope that doesn't happen. I was like, yeah, I hope so. I literally hope not either, but remember my tattoos.
And that's also, like, side note, a good thing for, like, not getting trafficked because people will recognize tattoos. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too recognizable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, get tattoos, I guess.
Yeah. If you want one. Don't get one if you don't want
don't
one.
Don't get a stupid one.
Think about it before you get
Certainly
it.
Certainly don't get anyone's name. That's another
unless they pass away and then they're like, well,
if
even
it's
then.
Your grandma, whatever.
Yeah,
if it's a boyfriend, immediately no.
Especially if it's a boyfriend,
definitely don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, so she's rushed to the hospital.
We're just life lessons over here.
She's in bad, bad shape. Yeah. And because of her injuries, she suffers a massive stroke.
Oh my God.
I know. And she's put into a medical induced coma.
I mean, that's good. That sucks that had to happen.
But I'm glad she survived.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now.
Is she disfigured from like the bleach and the fire?
No, no, no.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Fort Collins detective Jacqueline Shackley was on this case because it's like obviously different jurisdictions.
Yeah. Well, in the Denver PD did give them kind of a heads up. Yes. They needed to watch this guy too, which thank God they did that.
Right. So. Detective Shackley, she's like interviewing all these people trying to figure out like who could have done this.
Sure.
But like they're coming up with zilch, zero, nothing. Everyone loves Lydia. Like she's popular. She's friendly. She's like no one has a bad thing to say about her. So she is like so confused because she's like,
yeah,
this seems so personal. Like how is it not someone she knows? Like what is going on? So
does she remember anything?
I'm not sure if she really remembers anything. And this
is probably still when she's in the medically induced coma, but they're trying to figure it out.
True. But fortunately, police are able to obtain DNA evidence left on her from the assault. So she had fought back hard.
Good for her.
And she had DNA evidence under her fingernails.
Yes!
And Detective Shackley found out, you know, she was like, oh yeah, Travis is being surveyed by the Denver PD. And she's like, maybe it's kind of a long shot, but like maybe there's a connection.
Yeah.
So the bleach and the fire, as we talked about, were consistent with both cases of Kenya and Lydia, but still they don't have like anything to actually arrest him. Except for the DNA that was collected back in Austin. It needed to be compared to the DNA collected under Lydia's fingernails, like, ASAP. So they were like, please, can we put, like, a, you know...
Something out.
Something, like, can we put a, I don't know, what would you call it? Like, just do this quick, you know? Like, put it at the top of your list kind of thing. I don't know.
Something fast.
Something fast. Do it fast. So they're waiting. Travis is still being watched because he's still like out and about and they have like teams of police following him. So now we're two.
The fact that they have to wait for this is just infuriating.
I know.
Because they're like, great. Like they already had enough on him. They needed it. But then he's able to harm someone else. And right. It's not from a lack of them trying to like get him on something.
True.
It's like, that's the worst part.
And to the CBI's credit, like the lab that they were working with was like working overtime. They were like trying to get this done as quick as possible. So they were like, I mean, they didn't have any like... any neck in the game or anything. They were just like, yeah, we'll get it done. So they were doing their best get it as quickly as possible. So July 10th, Travis is walking around Old Town, Fort Collins. He's got a bottle of whiskey in hand and he starts...
What the fuck? Why is he getting like...
But they have to like, you know, kind of wait.
I get why they're doing it, but like, this is so... fucking infuriating.
Well, it's about to get worse. So he starts following drunken women down the street. He'll like single women out who are like walking alone, notice that they're starting to go down like a dark street, and he'll be like, oh, and he starts closing in.
Boy, yeah, like bingo. Mm-hmm. Right there.
So one police officer approached he started following one woman, and like this police officer kind of like approached both of them and was like, hey, like, how's it going tonight? What's going on? Because he knew, like, this guy's, like, trying to single this woman out. And she's, like, clearly drunk. So they're like, hi, I'm whatever. Travis gives a fake name. He's like, I'm Travis Kennedy. And they're like, okay, have a good night, whatever. Be careful, blah de blah blah. So he stops following that lady because, like, obviously he just talked to a police officer.
This is so infuriating.
Not long after that... he started following a second drunken woman.
Why is he not getting arrested for just, like, public intoxication?
Sure.
Only for, like, protection to, like, hold him. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm wondering.
Well, luckily, police were kind of like, they're on the same wavelength. They're like, we gotta get this dude out of here. He's gonna, like... we're gonna have another victim on our hands.
He's gonna like
If we don't step in.
Yes.
So they arrested him for giving a fake name.
Okay, good.
Which is a misdemeanor.
Something to get him off the
Yeah, get him off the streets.
Yeah.
Get this creep away from women.
Yeah. So, especially college-age women who don't know the rules yet.
Right. So, it's a misdemeanor to give a fake name to a police officer. So, they did arrest him. He's in jail. But that means he can get out on bail. So, literally, July... It didn't say.
Okay.
But July 11th, luckily... like minutes before he's released on bail, they get the call that the DNA results came back. It was a confirmed match that Travis Forbes was the one who had brutally assaulted Lydia Tillman.
Thank God.
Thank God. So the Monet family...
The DNA under her fingernails?
Mm-hmm, okay. Matched the ones that when they collected it in Austin. Sure.
Awesome.
So the Monet family is like, they find this out. They're like, okay, now we're desperate for answers. We need to get him for
Kenya's
whatever
murder.
He did to Kenya.
Yeah.
Where is she? We just want to know where she is. So Tony called Detective Garule and he said, make a deal. I don't care if it's manslaughter. I don't care if it's lessened sentencing.
I just want to know what happened to my daughter.
Where is my daughter?
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we're gonna try.
I hate that that's a thing.
I know.
Is that you have to be like, well, there'll be a lesser sentence, but I'll at least know.
Yeah.
No, they should be in jail forever.
They should still get the full penalty of the law.
Yeah,
but whatever.
100%. But so, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Travis just, like, wouldn't talk to any of the police officers except for his bestie, Detective Nash Grulle. Because, like I said, they were on first-name basis.
Yeah.
The detective... he kind of like, they kind of like a weird relationship. So they were like honest with each other.
Were they frenemies kind of?
Kind of. Yeah. So like there was like a certain point where in earlier interviews, Travis had asked the detective, he's like, what do you think of me? Do you think I'm a psychopath or sociopath? What do you think of me?
I think you need to stop being obsessed with me.
Right.
That's
so the detective's like, I think you're a fucking creep. I think you're a monster.
Yeah.
Like, he answered everything honestly. So that it could kind of be, like, reciprocated. You know, mm-hmm. It's, like, almost like he's, like, building a trust with this guy. So he gets a deal going.
Okay.
Travis tells the detective that he will tell the police what happened to Kenya and where she is buried if they don't book him as a sex offender because he's scared of what the people in prison will do to him. Okay, they're gonna find out.
Do you know that prisoners, fun fact, if you're ever going to prison, they ask outside people to look into the shit.
Oh, for sure.
They
Well, and it's public record, and if you're, like, good, you have access to the library. Like, you can see some of the shit. So,
And that's mostly what they do is they ask outside people. They're like, hey, I got this guy, blah, blah, blah. Will you look into it? And the family member's like, yeah, I got you.
Right.
I totally would. If, like,
totally.
A family member was like,
I'm going
to
be in there for the rest
like,
of my life. And I'm trying to, like, hurt someone else who sucks.
I mean.
I don't know. So anyways, he also didn't want the death penalty. Just like, okay, whatever.
I would want the death penalty. I would be like, please. I don't
so they're all like, sure, Travis, we'll do that. And so he confesses to the murder of Kenya Monet.
And what happened?
So he tells the police that he saw her on the street. He picked her up. She was, like, super fucked up. So, not her fault that she got into his car.
Was she drugged or was she just, like,
so
she drank too much?
That's an interesting point because family members did say when they saw the footage of her in the apartment complex with the dude from the club, she was, like, stumbling. And they were like, she never really, like, drank like that. Like, we kind of think maybe she got something slipped into her drink. Mm-hmm. But it's never confirmed.
But who knows because, yeah.
Who knows? Sometimes people overdrink. We don't know.
It happens.
So, she gets into his car. He sexually assaulted her. He strangled her. And then he put her body into the cooler and drove around with it for a full day. Then he took the cooler to the bakery, which was on the footage, so that he could clean his van and burn her things. And then he confessed that he took her to Keensburg to bury her.
Kind of what we thought from the beginning.
Yep, exactly what we thought. So September 7th, he led the police to the spot
in Keensburg that is on a random country road next to a grove of oak trees. And when he got out of the vehicle, he let out a blood-curdling scream.
Travis did?
Yeah. Like, bro.
What are you doing? What are you doing? For what reason?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Detective Shakely was like, it freaked me out. Weird. Like, it made me jump. I was not expecting that.
No.
So he gathers his self-control and then he's like, it's right there, and points to the spot. So
what was the scream for?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm stuck on that.
No one knows. Wait. He just felt bad. I don't know. It's a little too late for that, sir.
Yeah, he kind of tried to evade cops for a while. Maybe you don't feel that bad.
Yeah, you were enjoying the cat and mouse game. So they began digging, and of course, 4 feet down, they found Kenya's remains. The family was told.
Was she dismembered or anything?
She wasn't. She was taped up into a fetal position, which is horrible.
I hate that.
Yeah. So the family was told, that they found the remains, and of course they're devastated because.
But they kind of knew this was coming.
Tony knew, but Maria.
He didn't share that with them. That...
No, Maria and Kimberly were still really holding on to hope that maybe she was alive.
I think I would do that too.
Yeah.
You have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
So they were just completely.
Oh.
Just their world was turned upside down.
Yeah.
So sad. He also confessed to the attempted murder of Lydia Tillman. So on September 26th, Travis Ford pleaded guilty to the murder of Kenya Monnier, and the following day pleaded guilty to the first-degree attempted murder of Lydia Tillman. Lydia and the Monnier family both appeared in court, and Maria gifted Lydia one of Kenya's favorite rings.
That's so
it was
sweet.
Really sweet. They hugged and they cried together. It was a very touching moment. Maria said that in the moment of their embrace, she felt like she was hugging Kenya.
Aww.
Which, breaks my heart.
I wonder if they're still in contact today.
I don't know if they are, but they definitely...
Because it's a trauma bond, kind of, and mm-hmm. that thing. Sometimes those stay and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they still are, but... October 21st, Travis Forbes was sentenced to 48 years in prison. He is at the Colorado State Penitentiary in Canyon City.
Is this the max security?
Mm-hmm.
The one that Charles Manson was at?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So Kenya's dad, Tony, runs the Kenya Monnier Foundation, which is at Kenya Monnier, M-O-N-G-E, .wordpress.com. We'll put that in the show notes. And on the page, it says, to honor her legacy, the Kenya Monnier Foundation exists to provide women and children in Colorado with resources, education, and funding to educate in safe, healthy, and productive behaviors and activities in the community. In addition, the Kenya Monnier Foundation will provide the families of victims of violent crime and families of missing victims with the emotional, physical, and financial support they need to survive this tragic event.
What would have been nice for them to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you are able to make a donation on the website. You can do it via Zelle or Venmo, which is kind of cool. If you're able. And Lydia Tillman went through a very long and intensive rehabilitation where she relearned to talk and walk.
I hate that she had to even go through that.
I know. Her doctor said she probably shouldn't have survived, but due to her tenacity and her will to live, she made a full recovery.
Oh, I love that.
Fucking badass.
Yeah.
So she said about Travis to the Denver Post, it was during his sentencing that I was able to forgive him. At first, I felt extreme anger toward him. Then I felt sad for him. He must have been in so much extreme pain to so brutally hurt another human. Thanks to, at least due in part to, the stroke, I know that to forgive is easier than holding on to anger. Faced with a life in love and forgiveness or a life of fear and hatred, I embrace love. It was easy. That way, my anger is my own. I only have to look inside myself to discover answers. I feel my life prepared me for this moment the attack occurred.
I don't consider myself as a victim nor a hero. I have a strong will to live that served me well during the incident. I was fighting to survive. That's all.
I support her. That is so strong. I don't think I could forgive.
I would not be able to forgive.
No. No.
No. No. But good for her.
Like, yeah, she's stronger than I am. That is good for her. Like, that she, like, thinks that way. Like, that's a positive spin on it.
Totally. But like, I don't think I could.
Yeah. That's,
And, like, God. I don't know. We haven't obviously been in that situation.
No, we haven't, but
good for her.
Awful piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the story of the Colorado serial killer who took a life and also attempted to take a life, but was not successful.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a rough one to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rough one.
I just remember, like, hearing about it, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, it's all shit, over this social girl's, media. Like,
they were asking questions. And that it's like, she's the case our age. Like that. She's
doing all the things that we're doing.
I mean, that's the thing, like, with, like, the Shanann Watts case, too. Like, people, that was all over social media. Have you mm-hmm. seen this woman?
Yeah.
It's just that kind of stuff. It's just, it sticks with you.
Totally.
Yeah. And then you find out what happened, and you're like, oh, my God. And, like, a few days ago, they were asking where she was, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Super, super sad. But if you have the ability to, or would like to donate to the Kenya Monet Foundation.
Please do. Please if you have the means, yeah.
I mean, even if it's $5, like...
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah.
It all adds up after mm-hmm. time. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, anyways...
But we'll post pictures of her on our Instagram. That's going to be Mysterious Mavens Pod on our Instagram.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. Like...
She's really pretty. Yeah. She's really pretty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if you have any stories or suggestions that you would like us to cover.
You want
to
say hi. You want to compliment Denise's shirt.
You want to tell Kim she's the most beautiful blushing bride you've ever seen.
Thank you so much.
Then you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We're also on TikTok and Facebook, so you can find us there.
Yeah, we're on all the socials, so...
Yeah, except for Threads. Fuck that shit.
Give us a like.
A follow.
A follow. A good review.
Don't review us if you're gonna give us a 1-star. Like, fuck off. Don't be rude. Bye.
Okay, anyways. Self-care yourself.
Self-care for yourself.
Okay, bye.
Bye.